And so I wonder this day who we remember, who among those names struck a chord with you, or maybe it is somebody who hasn't been read at all, someone that we find ourselves remembering this day. As I looked over these names throughout the week, particularly the last few days leading up to this Sunday, I thought about how many of those names I recognized. Certainly compared to last year and especially the year before. The longer I'm here, the more I recognize those who have gone before us. Of course, that's no surprise, and as many of us know, remembering those who have passed comes with a strange combination of emotions. For some of us, we may see or hear a name, and it reminds us of the joy that they brought in our own lives. We may remember how close we were to them, what it was they taught us, how they made us feel, how they were able to help us shape who we were. And so we are met with the reality that we knew them and they are no longer with us, at least in the way they were before. We remember their faces, the faces of those whom we knew, who may have been our friends, our family, our loved ones. We remember today those who have gone before us. We also know that to remember some of these names and faces, they may reopen some old wounds, wounds that we thought were closed, or maybe it has reminded us that they have always been there. Perhaps like me, you are faced with some regret that maybe you forgot that it was this year that they passed and not the year before. Many times, a part of grief involves the reality that time no longer works the way that it used to. Things can kind of blur together because we seem to remember based on emotion, not because of the logical passage of time. Because this can be a day not just to remember the saints of this year, but also the saints of years past. Perhaps there are particular saints who are dear to us, who passed away long ago, and because we celebrate this day, it brings back those memories. Today, they may seem much closer. These last 10 days, I've been out of the country with a conference group learning about the conflicts which took place in Northern Ireland many decades ago, but yet, in some ways, are still very much alive today. During our time over in the Republic of Ireland, many of us visited the Well of St. Bridget, which is located in the village of Kildare, just outside of Dublin. St. Bridget is one of the patron saints of Ireland and is known for her work with the poor and with the ill. There is not much historical information we have on St. Bridget. Many of it has come from legend and mythology and from stories, but many of the stories agree that she was so focused on her ministry with those who were marginalized and ignored that she sacrificed everything else so that she could be with them. In fact, one of the chieftains had planned to marry her son to her, and yet she refused, and the chieftain allowed it so that she could continue her work because it had impacted him and his tribe so much. Many authors and songwriters and poets have written in dedication to St. Bridget. This is one of the passages I found that I wanted to share. Bridget sits by her well, watching pilgrim after pilgrim seek after Christ. She hears each hopeful prayer, each painful cry. She weeps for joy and sobs for the sorrows, and the water in the well tastes like her tears. And so as many of us sat at that well the day we visited, as we all remembered our baptism together, as we dipped our hands into that water, I remember thinking about how it was a water embodied by both joy and sorrow. But in the midst of that, we were able to remember our baptism because in that water was the power of Christ. And so this last week, as I heard about how women are not meant to be preachers, how they need to stay at home, I thought about St. Bridget. I thought about many of the women saints in my life who had taught me and inspired me, who loved and guided me. I thought of many of the women saints of this world, past and present, who have graced this world through God's presence, who have shown God's love, who have proclaimed God's message, partly because they were women in body, in mind, in spirit. not just the saints of this church, but in all communities of the world. There may be those we remember today who we did not personally know, but still had a profound effect on us, because that is how God works sometimes. Who they were, what they did, had the power to cross time and space and have that dramatic, powerful impact on us. Even though we never met, they were still able to reach us. We are inspired by who they were. Perhaps we even wish to continue the work they started. We wish to keep alive their work, but also their ministry and their life. Maybe we do that to honor them, but we can also admit that maybe we do this to keep their memory alive, to keep them alive. It is an honorable and noble thing to honor those who have gone on before us, but we must also admit it is basically human to want to continue their work, because it may help us feel as though they are still here with us. Maybe even more so, it can help us to process our own pain. One of the individuals we talked with in Belfast, where much of the violence in Northern Ireland took place, told us of how his wife was killed in one of the bombings. He talked to us about how, after some time, he tried to go back to the church that they attended, but he found that he was not able to stay. In fact, at one point he said, "I don't know if the church is even really the best place to go when you are grieving." And many of us had to sit back and process that. He talked about how the order of worship many times, the songs, the hymns, the scriptures, all of the rituals that are chosen, they don't really seem to be designed for those who are grieving. And they find themselves surrounded by people who have not experienced what they have. And they seem to go on as though this horrible tragedy has not taken place, that it hasn't happened. And so they feel very out of place. And so in the midst of the conversation afterwards, we talked about this central question. How can we, in the church, in worship, create a better, deeper space for lament? Another person told us about a friend of his who, when they were kids, his dad was a pastor. This boy had a 6-year-old sister who died of cancer. And in the midst of the family's grief, the boy and girl's dad had to continue to be a pastor. And so one day the boy found himself in the church wanting to be alone, and so it was empty when he was there. And as he found himself sitting in silence, he realized that someone was there. And it was his dad. He came down to the center of the aisle, knelt in front of the cross, and perhaps this was a prayer, but if it was, it was really a prayer of anger, because the story was that this boy watched his father shout at the cross, proclaiming anger at God, cursing God, and just venting all of this frustration, all of this anger, all of this lament and grief in God's presence. And so the boy left so his father could be alone. But he said that when his dad came back, he had this kind of plastic look on his face. And that as he led worship that following Sunday, he didn't say anything about the prayer that he had given days before. And that plastic face had turned into a plastic smile that he shared with his congregation. The man telling us this story said his friend afterwards, after seeing his dad with that plastic smile, for him, he came to the decision to leave the church. What do we do when we experience true grief during times of worship? What do we do when part of our remembrance is painful? Perhaps we feel like that pastor who has to put on a plastic mask over our true feelings, our true emotions, what it is that we are truly going through, and just simply carry on as though nothing has happened. Now, sometimes it can be healing to move forward. It can be healing to carry on. But we also have to admit that sometimes when we do this, we just simply take our pain with us. And so as we continue to hear stories about the conflicts happening during this time, as we talked and heard from so many who said that what they were doing now was trying to honor those who had died, honor their family, their friends, their teachers, their heroes, we talked about what was this costing them? What did it cost them to remember with such a heavy weight on their hearts? How many decisions were they making? How many decisions do we make based on the dead rather than the living? Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. None of us want our loved ones forgotten. But our memory of our saints, the saints of the world, these should not be a weight which sinks us lower. Our remembrance of the saints should help us to see and to know how it is that we are being called to live on, which can be the inspiration Jesus gives, the one who has gone before us, the joy that he had and still shares with us today through the mystery and the power of resurrection, as that letter says, so that we may not grow weary or lose heart. So many talk to us in Ireland about not wanting to dishonor their loved ones, to not dishonor their memory. There seemed to be a great pain that so many were holding on to. And so we started talking about this alternative. What would it be like to remember forward? What would it be like to take all of those memories, those experiences, those who had gone before us, but not to use it as a weight to keep us where we are, but to use it as part of the fuel to lead us into the future? And then someone put it this way: the past lives in us, but we do not live in the past. Our remembrance of the saints this day is not to stay in the past that they or we were in. We are to remember them as a way to take us into the future, to allow them to do their part in taking us into that future, that there is a race for us to continue, this race that Christ has not only set before us, but is inviting us and walking alongside that we might join in that great race to a new future. And so as we remember those who have gone before us, whether we remember with joy or we may remember with a continued grief, let us not run this race as though we have a weight placed upon us. Let us not run with the weight that we worry about how we might dishonor the memory of those before us. Let us run with the hope, the faith, and the joy that they are still here and that they are cheering us on. Let us pray together. Gracious Holy God, we remember those who are near and dear to us, those who were our teachers, our mentors, those who showed us what it means to live in your love, your grace, and your joy. We remember those who have made us who we are today. We remember with thanksgiving, and we also acknowledge and admit that we remember in pain and grief. Oh God, help us to know and acknowledge that these are human experiences which you have given to us, but to not allow them to define us or to weigh us down in the past. May we take these memories into the future, knowing that we do not walk this journey alone, that you have paved this way for each and every one of us, so that those who are still here who remain, may we walk into that future together. We pray this in your holy name. Amen. This All Saints Sunday, may we continue this time to remember those who have gone before us, whether it is this year or years past, whether it is a name that was said out loud in our service or a name that is close and dear to your hearts and minds. But let us also remember forward. Let us remember our past, whether it is positive or challenging, and know that we take it with us, that in that path Christ has made and paved our way for, it is an invitation to continue into the future. The past is not where we are called to remain. We take it with us, but it does not define us, and it certainly does not control us. Let us go forward together. Remember those who have gone before, and know that we all move together into God's future. And in that, may we go in peace. Amen.